They're great.
Oh, man. So there's this new store in coming in Southern California called Aldi's. A-L-D-I-S. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it, but it's...
I have, yeah.
So it's basically like a... like think like a... like a Walmart, but like a German Walmart. And so they have but they have all these like knockoff, like everything's like a knockoff brand there. And but their knockoffs are actually pretty good. Like they just opened one, like Giggles, we got a bunch of like their stuff, and surprisingly they were good. But like all their, they have all the different cereals, and like all of them, like it just looks like just straight from, they just like straight ripped off, you know. You know, like there's like Frosted Flakes, or like their one for like Lucky Charms is pretty funny. It was like a, instead of a leprechaun, it's like a magician. It's like Frosted Marshmallows is the name of the thing, and it was just funny. They're kind of going to the next next level for bootlegs. So I appreciate that they're trying.
I was just talking about it's amazing the conversations you have at a baseball game. But I was talking about Captain Crunch. I'm like, here's a little sailor that that he is selling a crunchy berry. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would want to eat a crunchy berry, but I love his. He's it's just like a, tops.
This thing is turned.
And this entire concept just started making me laugh. I thought it was awesome. I was like, what is wrong with me? Why am I thinking of Jesus as a werewolf and that Captain Crunch is the greatest salesman in the history of cereal?
He's like, hey, you want some of my crunchy berries I got from the sea? Plus, he's not even real. Like the this thing on his shoulder means he's a captain, like not captain, a commander admiral? Or something. Yeah, an admiral. Oh, okay. Maybe it's an admiral, but his rank's not right.
Maybe he's like Kirk, and he didn't want to be promoted.
Yeah. Yes. That's it.
He's happy with his crew and his ship.
Yeah, don't let him take you off the bridge, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wouldn't sound the same. Captain Crunch sounds better than Admiral Crunch.
Yeah, Admiral's got more important things to worry about.
You lose the alliteration with Admiral. Commander, I guess.
He's not seeing those crunch berries. Crunch berries are pretty delicious.
They are. They're the best part. That's why they sold just the cereal that was all crunch berries.
It's like, oops, just berries?
It's just like all sugar.
It's so good.
That's what I'm talking about. This guy is peddling crunchy berries, and we're just eating that shit up.
Yeah, we don't want the actual real cereal part. We just want the berries.
Yeah.
You keep that shit to yourself.
That cut your mouth.
Yeah. Worth it.
So sharp.
Totally worth it.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds and with my best buds Justin and Randy. How you guys doing today? I almost added you guys as not my best friends.
Aw, I'm good.
But you really are.
I'm sad I died a little inside. I didn't even say fabulous. Randy, how are you?
I am fabulous.
There you go.
I'll say it for you.
You still got one of y'all.
Oh, you know, we should mention that Amanda is still with us. She's just not with us. She's taking a quick break from our horrible selves.
She's on extended assignment.
Yeah. She's on a sabbatical.
Sounds nice the way you say it.
I want to be on a sabbatical.
Yeah. Do you get paid when you're on a sabbatical?
I don't think so. I think it's like a leave of absence.
It's just free leave of absence? You have a job when you come back?
Yeah. Right. It's like maternity leave, but for like smart people.
Oh, yeah. I heard there's like a thing now for pets. It's like maternity leave, but for pets. Where yeah, like that's... you can be with your pet. That's the thing. I don't know. Google it.
I will not.
It's big in Europe, I think.
It sounds like the fall of Western society right there. It sounds like whenever like conservatives make fun of libtards, as they call them, liberals, that's what they're making fun of, is shit like this.
Yeah.
You're making my party look bad, guys.
I don't know what it's called though. It's got a meternity? It's called meternity.
Is it peternity? I mean that's the low hanging fruit it should be.
It's called meat. It's called meternity, And it's taking time to get your life together. Oh.
Taking me time.
But then there's also Pawternity.
Oh, God.
Assuming your pet has paws and you're not like a bird person.
Ain't nobody taking the time off of birds. It's for the birds.
That's fantastic. I love this.
If I was an employer and any of my employees came to me and said they needed Meaternity or Pawternity, I would laugh them out of the room.
Well, you know, to be fair, my doggy is prone to mast cell tumors, and she does require care quite often, and I would not hesitate for a second to stay home and be with her.
You should. If something happened to my kids, I would do the same thing. If my kids got sick, I'd stay home with them.
But I wouldn't expect to be paid to do it. Obviously, I use a vacation day when that happens, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's not like I'm not taking extra time off, you know.
Paternity. That's fantastic. Anyway.
Don't punch somebody if that... If you've ever taken Pawternity or think Pawternity is a good idea, tweet at us at Galaxy. We'd love to hear about it.
Man, I'm getting hot. I gotta take my clothes off.
It's one of those kind of shows.
That whole topic just made me just stress out a little bit.
Made it hot.
Because that's the thing. People complain about that sort of stuff.
Idiots complain about that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I just brought a nice puppy home. I should take off 6 weeks to acclimate the dog.
Well, I like how daddies get to have a maternity leave of sorts.
Yeah. I think if you don't work with a bunch of assholes, you'd like shame you.
Oh. You gotta have that bonding time.
I agree.
Otherwise, your kid will hate you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. 6 weeks is a long time. I don't know how moms do it. After a while, going to work is like your vacation.
I bet.
You're like, I just need to get out of the house for 8 hours and talk to an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people just want to not be at work. I mean, they have like extended maternity leaves too, where you're gone for like 6 months or some bullshit.
Oh yeah, like postpartum is like a real serious thing, you know, with women and stuff like that, you know. So I think that, you know, some of them may need to take longer, and it's totally
At that point, I wouldn't even want to go back. I'd be like, man, it was so nice not being with those people. I am gonna choose not to go back. That would be me.
But then bills.
Yeah, well, I'd probably get a job somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
I would use that time to look to work somewhere else.
What if you were at your career?
Oh, I don't know how to answer that. First of all, I can't get pregnant, and second of all, I won't get pregnant, and I'm perfectly happy where
I am. That's what every girl on 16 Pregnant says.
Yeah, I'm not going to get pregnant. I can't get pregnant.
It's not going to happen to me.
Like, I'm not going to get pregnant. That's for, like, sluts. And then, boom.
He pulled out, and it was in my behind, so I'm okay.
He pulled out it dripped from the butt to the vagina.
The heavens!
I don't think it works.
The oxygen fuels the semen, and it gives it extra oomph to get inside.
It's absorption.
Power.
Yeah.
It's like the steroids, the cream you rub on. It's like that.
Just like that.
You ejaculate on a girl's stomach, and they like rub it in, and they get pregnant.
That sounds about right.
That sounds terrible.
sounds like Randy's worst nightmare.
This is such a scientific podcast. I love it.
It is. We're kind of cutting edge.
I do mark sci-fi as one of the categories in our podcast.
We're educating the masses with misinformation.
Yes, which is a thing.
Well, because they're all so happy because they all saw Captain America: Civil War the last 2 weeks. So. Well,
and it's also what happens when your parents don't sign your permission slip to learn about sexual education.
Yeah. So parents.
This isn't our fault. It's their fault. I'm sorry. You were saying Civil War?
Oh, yeah. I'd much rather talk about, did your parents not sign your permission slip to go to sex ed class?
Oh, no, they did. They didn't want to have the conversation.
I went twice.
Twice.
they were offering it 2 days in a row.
Oh, shit.
And once I wasn't supposed to be there, and the second time was the time I officially went with my parents. I think one time I went with, like, a friend's parent or something.
Oh, you went with your parents to that?
Yeah.
Ours was a week long. It was, like, one period each day for a week is how we did it.
What grade were you in? You had periods at that point?
For sex ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in high school.
Really? I was in, like, fifth grade.
Yeah, I was in, like, fifth grade.
Oh, no, that was, like, that was different. I had one in junior high. We had one in eighth grade, which is our health class, which is the same thing. It was one period, which is one of our science classes, probably our life science. I don't remember anymore. But then it was all week long. And then it was again my sophomore year in high school. We had another one.
Sounds like they were concerned about people in the Deuce getting pregnant.
Well, people go crazy when it's hot. And you do weird shit.
They were like, we gotta really beat this into these kids. We gotta hit them like every grade.
And that was when, like, you know, hip hop bands were all about the sex, and so they had to educate us. You know, TLC's got like a condom in her eye, and Salt and Pepper's all about let's talk about sex and things. So it was a big deal.
Now we got Jay-Z cheating on Beyonce.
Are you serious?
A record about it.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. That's what like her whole new album's about. That Lemonade album. It's all about like Jay-Z cheating on her.
Lemonade.
No matter how wonderful the P word is, there's some dude that's tired of banging it. It's sad.
It's sad.
But that is just human nature. Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you're like one of like the five most powerful men in the world, you probably just do like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, when it gets thrown at you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go.
Oh, in my car.
In my room. Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of pretty girls everywhere, let's talk about the Game of Thrones. No, yeah. Wait, we got to talk about the Civil War.
Yeah, we can go to Game of Thrones.
What do you want to do first?
It doesn't matter.
We've been trying to talk about Civil War for like 8 minutes now.
We'll go to Game of Thrones. It's fresh in everyone's mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
So. Everyone loved it to death, right?
It was good.
Stuff actually happened, so yes.
All right, we'll go with you, Randy. You just finished watching it. What do you think? Give it, hit us with something.
Titties!
What? Oh, yeah, at the end, right?
Yeah.
I almost texted that when you said, like, oh, I'm almost at the end. I'm like, I almost texted you, like, titties.
Wow, I was thinking of health class.
Yeah, exactly.
Full circle.
Well, we're also acting like we're about 13 right now, so
sure.
It's like,
got to giggle.
It balances out. But yeah, so I was sitting there and I wasn't actually enjoying the nudity. I was sitting there figuring out, now, did they put her head on a different person's body? Because I heard she wasn't going to be doing those kind of scenes anymore.
I thought the same thing, Randy, because yeah, she said she wasn't going to get naked no more.
Yeah, and it almost looked like the way the light was wrapping around her face, it almost looked like it was composited on there. Don't know for sure.
And they did that with Cersei last year.
Yeah,
I was looking for floaty head syndrome there to see if her head didn't float naturally. But yeah, I'm sure it's by a double.
Yeah.
But she was a Terminator Genesis for crying out loud. She doesn't have to get naked anymore.
Nope, she's over that shit.
But that was a badass scene. I like the fact that we're finally starting to get the Stark band back together, which I know has got to drive David crazy because the only good Stark's a Ned Stark, in your opinion. But
that's right.
But yeah, I'm just happy that shit was going down. Shit was happening. Finally got to see Littlefinger, even if though it was kind of brief.
Yeah, and they made him a bad guy.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
To be a bad guy.
I know, but but I mean, I always kind of thought that he had his own little way of doing things. Unless deep down he knew that the only way to go to war with Ramsay Bolton was to put Sansa in danger. Like, maybe he was thinking on a big picture way. But I feel like he's just backpedaling and, you know, trying to come out clean on this one.
Yeah, I think that he had good intent. I don't think he would ever, like, put Sansa in harm. I think he actually thought that maybe Ramsay wasn't going to be a total piece of shit. That, you know, he might honor, or that Roose would beat him into honoring, you know, Sansa as, you know, the wife. I don't think he ever wanted any harm to come to Sansa. I think he's still in love with the Starks.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least the Tullys.
Yeah, the girl.
The girl versions, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to see the Sansa-Jon Snow reunion. Like,
that caught me by surprise.
Yeah, everyone knows I don't like Sansa Stark, but I thought that she was really good in this episode. Like, is kind of like, she was, John. Someone needed to smack Jon Snow in the head and say, like, hey, get your head out of your ass. And
it's been through a lot, Dave.
Yeah, but it was nice that she was able to do it. And, you know, she was able to reach him in a way that, you know, his buddies at the wall couldn't. She's like, It's like, he's in our home. He has your brother. We have to do something. He's like, oh, fine.
And she got there quickly.
Yeah.
That was like an 8-second ride.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was 4 episodes, but we didn't have to see any of it, so it's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, she escaped, and then they said, hey, we got to go to the north in the next episode, and then she wasn't much in the, was she in last week's episode at all?
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, it all worked out. It was still quickly.
Yeah, it was great. You know, they seem to be advancing a lot of these stories faster than we would have thought, and I think that's great.
Can we backtrack a quick second back to the fire building where Daenerys lit everyone on fire?
Yeah.
And everyone's bowing down and praying to her, saying, oh my God, she's amazing. Is anybody going to question the 2 dead bodies outside of the building?
No.
They're like, oh yeah, this is how everyone burns differently, and this is how they burn. I don't know. It's kind of a...
I burned them from the inside.
That seems kind of weird, right? And you see them in the shot, too, where they're all kneeling.
Yeah.
It's like, huh, there's a lot of 2 bodies outside. How'd that work?
Yeah. Maybe she didn't burn the other ones inside either. Yeah, I mean, that was cool, too. You know, I don't like Daenerys either, but she had a nice little powerful moment where she was like, you know, I'm just going to take this over. And this would be a great way to quickly advance her story. I would love for her to take this fucking massive Dothraki horde, just take back Meereen, take back Astapor, take back Yunkai, and then just be like, you know what? You guys are on your own. You slaves, I freed you. If you get the mess, if you let the masters take you over again, it's on you. I'm going to go take over Westeros now. And then her, like, she needs to be on a boat towards King's Landing by the season finale.
Dothraki don't like ships, Dave.
Wooden horses.
Mm. Yeah.
They got to build their ships to look like horses.
Yeah. Drogo was going to do it.
Yeah, he died.
He was her sun and stars, or yeah. Moon and stars, or
he was her
pie.
Rapey husband.
Yeah, I watched it. I started watching the first season of Game of Thrones. It's a fun little jaunt to see how much some of these characters, like Tyrion, looks like this like little blonde kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a man.
Yeah, he's changed quite a bit.
Yeah, Daenerys, she doesn't get treated too well by Mr. Drogo at the beginning. At the beginning.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She's like, no. Is that all you know? Is no.
Yeah.
What do you think of Tormund and Brienne? 2 of the biggest people in Westeros about to have some serious hate sex.
Man, down. Love it. Hopefully they have, like, big babies, too.
Yeah.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
No, it'd Arya. Like a lady. Oh, yeah, that's true. No Arya.
Yeah, now that you can see. I hope that she gets back, and I like the idea of Sansa kind of like reuniting everybody. And so, like, you know, she got back with Brienne. Now she got back with Jon. You know, she can go take it over and get back with Rickon. You know, maybe they can head north of the Wall with Bran. You know, I like the idea of uniting the family. It's, you know, that's what the show started with the Starks. You know, I have a feeling that the Starks have a big part to play in the end of it.
Sure. Oh, and I guess we're still on this episode, but I got excited when I saw the scenes and we get that Bran is going to have that little moment with the fucking White Walkers next episode.
Yeah. Yeah, something's going down because Mirin's trying to wake him up. And in his dreams, he's seen like the Wall of the White Walkers and the guys behind him.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out his name.
And there's, you know, we were dropped a hint that Ned was able to kind of hear Bran, so maybe that's kind of the first little pill for us to swallow where now the White Walkers can actually communicate and see him. Just because they're like on a spiritual level? I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah. Bran's going to just kill him.
Ooh. Maybe. Maybe he's going to grab him and say, you motherfucker!
That's like, no! Hit him with like a rolled up newspaper. It's bad!
Yeah.
It's a band. Yeah, got Tyrion doing Tyrion things.
Mm. And then we got that stupid High Sparrow still. Why is
he still alive?
I don't know. It's driving me nuts.
I'm hoping they're building him up for his like epic fall when Cersei just like puts a knife in him, kind of like how Ramsay did with poor Asha.
Oh yeah, that was kind of sad. I saw that coming though, huh?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, she's gonna die. I told Corey, I was like, oh, this is gonna be good. She's wearing a dress like she's going to get naked. She's going to try the lady moves. Yeah. It doesn't work on that guy.
But, you know, I'm actually... Ramsey Bolton's quickly becoming a favorite of mine simply because he's eliminating characters, like, sure, swiftly. Like, all these, like, tertiary characters that probably have a part in George R. R. Martin's books, but in a TV show, they just take up screen time that shouldn't be there. And every episode, he seems to be off in one of them. And so I applaud his efforts.
Yeah, he's like everyone's favorite bad guy.
No. He's pretty terrible. He's like Joffrey.
I think he's better than Joffrey. I couldn't tolerate Joffrey. And I just mainly because he was a little boy and he was very poutish.
Right.
Ramsay's just cruel. But he has his own little way about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's scary. Joffrey was just annoying. I think Ramsay's, like, terrifying.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like on a Joker level where you know he's going to do something horrible, but you don't know what it is. And the only thing that you can predict about him is that he's going to do something terrible.
Mm.
And you don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to happen. And it's off-putting. And I love that. I love feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's great to see the Tyrells and the Lannisters working together to take down that High Sparrow, though.
Yeah, that can't come soon enough. You think that one nun lady is going to get the shit kicked out of her with that stick that she's beating everybody with?
Yeah, someone's walking with shame, shame.
She's mean.
Yeah, she is. Like, well, she hasn't had much to play in this season, luckily, so.
Yeah.
She's trying to break them.
Those religious nut jobs are always bad news.
That's no good.
Yeah. Bunch of creeps.
Ruin everything. Yeah, the mountain needs to just, like, take Pycelle and just, like, put him in a wall.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that guy's still a thing, too.
He is a creep.
Driving me nuts,
ass.
That guy.
Talking to the king, and he's like, what are you doing in here?
And he's not even, like, old and... I mean, he's old, but he can move about at his own pace. Like, it's all a ruse about him being all slow and decrepit.
Yeah, we saw him banging broads in, like, season one.
Yeah, and walking all fast and then putting a chain on and pretending to be all slow and stupid.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
Yeah,
he bugs me.
G-O-T.
Good shit. What do you give this episode, letter-wise?
I give it a B. B+.
Right. I'd give it a good solid A-.
Ooh. Because of the titties?
Yes. No, it just I wasn't bored. I wasn't bored is what it comes down to.
I agree. The only part that bored me was the High Sparrow.
Yeah.
Well, luckily it was fairly short, though.
Was it? It felt like it was the whole episode.
No.
It was like, oh my god, this asshole.
It felt pretty short to me.
Well, it seemed longer because then they had the whole thing. She let Marjorie go see Loras, and I'm like, oh man, another character that just, who cares? He just needs to die off page, like in a cell, like he hung himself or something.
Right. With his own hair.
Yeah, I don't have time for your nonsense, Knight of Flowers. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. We should have just the right amount of characters to where we can touch base with all of them every episode instead of having to miss some every episode. We should be able to touch every single character in the show every week.
Show us on the doll where the White Walker touched.
Exactly. And they're helping them. So they've combined Sansa, Brienne, and Jon Snow's, and Davos's, and Melisandre's. Like, all of their stories have now merged into one story, which is great. Mm-hmm. You know, Theon's story is now merged with all the other Greyjoy stories. Awesome. You know, so if they can continue to just either eliminate characters or merge storylines by having characters come together, major POV characters come together, then I think the show will have just a rambunctiously awesome final season next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or the year after.
Yeah, makes sense.
And they can set up that prequel series that George R. R. Martin wants to do.
Yeah, how far forward?
How far backward, rather. Well, he wants to do them based off of his novellas, the Egg series, the Egg and Duncan series, and that takes place like before Robert's Rebellion, and so
like
then no one
right before or
not terribly long before, you know, probably like 5 years before.
Hmm. And this is Dunk and Egg.
Yeah, Dunk and Egg.
Dunk like a dunk tank? That kind of dunk?
I think it's...
That's like the word, though, that you're using?
Yeah, it's like D-U-N-C. It's like short for Duncan.
Oh.
So, yeah, so we'll see. You know, there's a lot of other cool stories they could mine.
Oh, but... it's K. I just looked it up. Tales of Dunk and Egg. Yeah. D-U-N-K.
Aren't I the fucking asshole?
Yeah. Idiot.
A real piece of shit.
The worst.
The worst.
Like on a Fantastic Four level.
Fan Four Stick?
What does that mean?
That's how they wrote Fantastic Four. It was fan, the number four, and then stick.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like they're trying to be cute.
Huh. That's like on the HBO now.
The A
I was going to watch it, but...
You haven't seen it yet?
No.
Yeah, you should watch that so we can talk. So we can complain about that movie. You know, it's interesting enough. I really try to stay away from like the Sony email links, like when they first came out, because it seemed like, well, you know, if people read my emails, I'd look like a douchebag too. But with all the like the Ghostbuster stuff that's been going on, I've been real watching a lot of, you know, like coverage of like the Sony links from the Ghostbusters perspective, and it's pretty interesting to see how Amy Pascal, who was the president of Sony, really disliked Harold Ramis Ivan Reitman, and wanted nothing to do with Ivan Reitman's directing, producing, writing, doing anything for Ghostbusters, up into and including like having like clandestine meetings with all these other executives, and you know basically having conversations with Paul Feig before he officially stopped directing. Harold Ramis stopped directing it. Sorry, Ivan Reitman stopped directing it, and it seems like. Seems like Amy Pascal's a real
piece of work.
Yeah. She's not at Sony anymore because of it, but now they have Tom Rothman, which is 10 times worse, but that's...
Is she the one that left after all those leaks happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was the one who... She had a lot of bad emails, like... But she had a lot of the emails that people were complaining about.
That was like, when they got hacked by, like, North Korea or something like
that? Yeah, when... Korea had hacked them.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that is just a bad dream. It seems too ridiculous. That's like Red Dawn Part 2.
Yeah, and then she
hacking
stepped down.
Sony.
And then Tom Rothman from Fox, he stepped in. And Tom Rothman is the brainchild who decided that Deadpool shouldn't talk in the X-Men Origins movie. He's the one who basically ran Bryan Singer out of the franchise by just forcing him out and deciding that Last Stand should be the way it was, and he's not really. He's the guy who said that both Titanic and Avatar were terrible ideas that wouldn't make any money.
Man, it's crazy how like there's just so many bullies.
Yeah,
in those industries.
Yeah, if you look him up, his name's Tom Rothman. He's now the head of Sony, but he was the head of Fox for a while. And he, even in his interviews, he's just a mean guy. He's like just not someone that you associate as like the head of a studio. Like you'd associate someone who's like going to lie and kiss your butt. Mm-hmm. I'm a voter. You're supposed to lie to me and kiss my butt.
He's from Baltimore.
No. You can't trust anyone from Baltimore is what you're saying?
It's Jared's neck of the woods.
That's true.
They have drug dealers there.
Yeah, they got the wire.
And homicide. I was looking into that show because I don't even know how it all started. But there was somebody that was on Law and Order, and I remember that they had Law and Order Homicide crossover events every once in a while. And then I was like, man, I haven't watched Homicide in years. So then I looked it up on Amazon. I was going to buy them all. It's like $300. Can't do that. Not for
you're going to look at that.
Yeah. So I was like, it's too bad. But I mean, for a moment, I was really excited to watch Homicide again. Anyway. Almost
watched Law and Order.
What?
Oh, sorry.
No,
I just watched Law and Order SVU. It's just the entire cast. Like, Munch is on there and a whole bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. He's retired now, though, right?
Yeah. What were we going to see you were excited about?
Oh, I was going to say, almost as excited as everyone was to go see Civil War again. This movie has got, like, $1 trillion now.
It did. It is at $940 million worldwide. Which, in 10 days, so if you're counting at home, that is... let's see. That is $72 million more than Batman v Superman has after, you know, 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, Batman v Superman's in danger of becoming You know, because right now it's the third highest grossing movie of the year, but The Jungle Book is only $30 million behind it, and Jungle Book still hasn't opened in Korea and Thailand, and it's still making, you know, $2 to $4 million a week here. So,
Jungle Book was fantastic.
Yeah, it was also fantastic. So Jungle Book will definitely pass Batman v Superman, putting Batman v Superman as the fourth highest grossing film of the year. You know, we still got Rogue One, which will most likely pass it. You know, we still got, you know, a couple big tentpole movies that could push that out of the top five. And I have to imagine that in Warner Brothers' worst predictions, they never predicted that Batman v Superman would be like the number like 6 or 7 film of the year.
Oh.
But that's the negative Nancy in me. The positive Nancy in me.
We got a Batman v Superman movie. That's positive. Right.
Captain America: Civil War made $72 million more, had a 59% decrease, which is kind of on par with superhero movies. It's well over $300 million domestically, and worldwide, like we said, it's almost at $1 billion. So it'll hit $1 billion, you know, next weekend.
Wow.
That's impressive. Actually in a couple days, probably. So, yeah, I saw it again this weekend. I took my kids to see it, and they loved the shit out of it. And so it's good. Checking all the boxes. Kids love it. Adults love it. People who hated Batman v Superman love it.
Yeah, Josh loved it. Josh Moss, who has been on this podcast before, I got a text from him saying, Civil War was friggin' amazing. Ant-Man killed it. Spider-Man was perfect. So good. 3 exclamation points.
Yeah, I love Ant-Man.
Actually, it said, any man killed it. And then the next, the following text said, Ant-Man. Thanks, Apple. So yeah. Everyone seems to have the same opinions. As far as Ant-Man and Spider-Man go, they were all wins.
Yeah, and it really set up. What it really did is it made me really excited to see the next Spider-Man movie. It made me really excited to see the next the Black Panther movie. I think it was kind of a missed opportunity because we got a trailer for Doctor Strange before we saw it, and I was like, man, I could give two fucks about Doctor Strange, and no one has any idea who this guy is. To where, you know, maybe they should have dropped some Doctor Strange-ness on this movie. To maybe like kind of whet our appetite so we'd kind of be excited about it. I mean, I don't know narratively how they could have done it, but it seemed like a missed opportunity because their next movie in November is Doctor Strange. And at this point, you know, enthusiasm seems relatively low.
Well, yeah, they could have had him in it being like normal, but like a really good scene, like a funny scene or
an important
scene or something. But
or give him the after credit scene. The Spider-Man scene was kind of a waste. You know, they could have given him Doctor Strange something at the very end.
I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, I love more Marissa Tomei.
Mm.
But, I mean, they just saw that, like, he had, like, a hologram in his arm.
Yeah, but he used to have a spider signal.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's amazing Spider-Man. Great choice of words.
Part two. With your buddy Electro.
Spider-Man. That movie is... So good!
Oh my god, I cannot believe.
Why do I always like the worst stuff? It says something about my taste. I like Batman and Robin. I even got Corey going around saying, monkey work. I explained that scene to him. Then I YouTubed it so he could watch it. And now he's dropped monkey work on me like 3 times in the last 7 days, which is fantastic.
The worst.
Yeah. I just have terrible taste. I'm that asshole.
And you don't like Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That's pretty good.
I keep a straight face when you say that.
Well, I like the cast. Like, I love fucking Spider-Man. I think he is fantastic. Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
And I liked...
Stone?
Yeah, Emma Stone. And my heart was broken when she didn't make it to the end of the movie. I thought that was really sad. And I think that it was really something special as far as like the comic universe is concerned. I thought that was great that we were able to see that. And it's just a shame it didn't work out.
Yeah, and you're a big fan of Electro? You like Jamie Foxx?
Yeah. I like Jamie Foxx when he's Willy Beeman.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, different movie.
Steamin' Willie Beeman.
The Willie Beeman.
That movie's great.
I love Any Given Sunday. That's probably Oliver Stone's last great film.
That was a long time ago, though, Dave.
It was. It's like 99.
Yeah.
What's he done? What did you like Dane DeHaan, his hair in Amazing Spider-Man 2 as the Goblin?
No. I don't like that at all. In fact, when we were seeing Mr. Lex Luthor, when we saw Zuckerberg as Lex Luthor, I was getting Goblin flashbacks, and I couldn't quite place it. But now that you mention it, that's kind of what it reminds me of. Just kind of that annoying character.
Yeah.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, I got Mr. Stone's IMDb up here. Yeah, so we got Any Given Sunday in 99, which is great. Then we go to Alexander in 04, which was not great.
Yeah, you saw
World
that.
World Train Center in 06, which was not terribly good. W, which was just his way of saying, fuck you, Bush. And not very good. Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, the follow-up to like one of Justin and my favorite movies. Not very good. Then he did Savages, and then he has Snowden coming out in 2016, and doesn't even look like Joseph Gordon-Levitt can make that movie interesting.
Trailer didn't look that bad, I thought.
Yeah. I don't like Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing the accent in the trailer.
Mm.
Like it was bad. Like it was disarming. You really wanted to play the role. He liked it so much. You know what I like? Swiss Army Man. Justin, are you a big fan now that I made you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I don't understand what's happening. It's like Weekend at Bernie's Part 3 meets Castaway.
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Anything he needs him, the corpse to be, he is.
Yeah. He's just a crazy person, though, right? This is like Paul Dano playing himself. This is like a... what is that guy that... Man vs. Wild or whatever the hell it's called?
Yeah, Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
That Paul Dano is kind of a weird duck.
Yeah, I can see that.
At least in every movie he's in, he plays a weird duck. He never plays just like your average Joe kind of guy.
He's eccentric.
There you go. But yeah. I think it's going to be funny. I'm excited. Randy, did you like the trailer?
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating. I mean, everything I see about that movie makes me want to see it even more.
Speaking of Paul Dano, did you see Love and Mercy, Justin? The Beach Boys biopic?
No.
Yeah, okay. He plays young Brian Wilson, and he's pretty good in that one. But Brian Wilson's another weirdo, so he fits your mold.
No. Not my mold, his mold.
Well, yeah, your mold of him.
Oh,
he fits into it nicely. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, Swiss Army Man's the kind of indie darling that took Sundance by storm. You know, A24 paid $24 million for the film, and you know, we'll see how it it performs.
And this is just he's alone. He's stranded on an island, or is he just in the wilderness? Do you know the answer to that?
It looks like he's on like a deserted island, but then there's people. I don't know if that's like a dream or.
And he sees a Harry Potter's body in the water, and he goes and gets him, and he's having conversations with this corpse.
Correct, yeah. He's about to hang himself, and as he's about to end it all, he sees this corpse float up on the beach, and it's Daniel Radcliffe. And Daniel Radcliffe does what Paul Dano's character needs. He needs like a jet ski, so Daniel Radcliffe farts, and he rides along on the water, and needs to know which way to go, and Daniel Radcliffe's erection points the way to go, you know?
Magic.
As corpses typically do. Hmm. Every corpse I've ever dug up did that.
Yeah. Pretty much. The ones that still had a penis, anyway.
Yeah, this is just basically like a how-to guide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Fun. Fun like Empire Strikes Back, James Bond credit sequence. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That was pretty badass. I wasn't a big fan of the song, but... I like the style.
Well, that was Radiohead's Spectre song that they didn't use in the
Yeah.
Which is probably why you hated it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Everyone knows Radiohead sucks.
I don't know, man. The internet seems to like them.
I know. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
I've never met a Radiohead fan or anyone who says they like Radiohead, but the internet says that they're the best band ever, so.
Yeah. Bunch of creeps.
And the internet is always right.
Yes. If it's printed, it's right.
Yeah, printed on the internet. Yeah, it's Kurt Raffer, the guy who did the credits, and his Vimeo videos all over the internet now, especially on geeklegacy.com. But yeah, I really liked it. It was fun. Must have taken him a couple of hours at least.
Interesting. Are we getting another Bond movie?
Yes. Forever.
Is it going to have my ass-kicking Daniel Craig in it?
TBD. He's under contract, but a lot of people are saying that now that Sam Mendes is definitely out. Sam Mendes will not direct the next Bond film. And so they're thinking that it may just be a time for a nice clean break from both Radcliffe and Mendes.
Radcliffe?
I'm sorry, Craig Mendes.
Now we're talking. Harry Potter is James Bond.
Hey, give him a few years.
Wrong Daniel. I wanted Idris Elba as James Bond. I think Idris Elba would be like the best James Bond.
He's fantastic. And he's big and strong. Fuck people up. Yeah.
But the internet won't let him because he's black.
But you're black.
Exactly. Forbid the secret agent. Oh, man.
But, that is too much. We can always bring in Lethal Weapon 2 quotes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But you can have Hiddleston be Bond. He's another name that always comes up. You know, I like Loki.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. I can't picture him as anything else. I watched that one movie, though. Ugh, Crimson Peak, and I didn't like it.
That's true. You did not like it.
It wasn't my cup of tea. You know, what is weird, were we going to talk about Rogue One at all? We're talking about Star Wars right now, right? But did you see Gareth Edwards is no longer directing Godzilla 2?
Yeah, I meant to talk about that. Yeah, no. Yeah, I was sad. I guess he's too busy on Rogue One.
Isn't it over?
I guess, but maybe they wanted to start pre-production on Godzilla 2 and he wasn't free.
Huh.
Yeah, they didn't really give a reason. They just said that Gareth Edwards ain't doing it no more, which is a shame because I think that some of the stuff he did on the Godzilla movie was great.
Yeah, well, it helps that he's like a fan of that whole genre.
Yeah, it comes through, you know?
Yeah. Did you guys see that Monsters movie by chance?
Huh? I saw Monsters. Yeah. Did you like it?
I never saw it.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's, you know, it's super low budget. It's nothing that's going to, it's no Godzilla. But it's a fun. It made Godzilla fun because if you saw what he did to Monsters with like $6, and so you knew that if you gave him $100 million, he was going to give you a good movie. And I think that Godzilla has great moments, and I can't wait to see what he does with Rogue One.
Yeah. He's gonna have big wampas running around, destroying buildings. Rancors and Wampas fighting each other.
Yeah. Actually, Deadline is reporting that it was an amicable split, but that after doing Godzilla and Rogue One back-to-back, that he kind of wanted to do some smaller projects in between, and they wanted to rush Godzilla into production since, by the time it comes out, it'll already be like 4 years in between the movies.
Mm. See, that kind of makes me nervous. Because isn't there going to be a team-up, too? Like a Godzilla and King Kong buddy cop movie?
It depends. So there's several lawsuits right now because there's competing King Kong movies right now. So there's King Kong, and then there's a movie called Skull Island directed by Andy Serkis. And there's a rights issue going on, and so we'll see which one hits the theaters first.
Isn't he doing like a Jungle Book movie or something?
Yeah, it's another problem. Andy Serkis directed a Jungle Book movie that they actually announced before Jon Favreau's Jungle Book movie. And the whole tilt on that was that they assumed that Jon Favreau was going to go very light and campy like the original animated movie. And so they were going to do this dark telling of the story. And then Favreau's came out and it was a pretty gritty, dark, realistic movie. And so now they're scrambling like, well, what do we do with this movie?
Yeah,
just call it something different.
It says it's according to IMDb, it says it's in post-production.
Yeah, it's got an amazing cast. It's got, it's got freaking Christian Bale, it's got
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, so it's got some serious heavy hitters. So, it's not something they can just, push under the rug. But they all did motion capture because it's Andy Serkis movies. They got to do motion capture. There's all these rumors about, you know, people coming in to direct for Andy Serkis, and it's this whole thing. And we don't know. They think they're probably going to like sit on it for a little bit to give some distance between the Jungle Book films.
What are the odds that he's doing two movies that are also being done by other people? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, just bad luck, I guess.
That is bad luck.
Yeah.
It's rotten luck.
Yeah, because we really haven't seen any like real projects that he's directed yet. I mean, he did a lot of the second unit directing for the Hobbit movies.
Hobbit, right? Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, those movies are terrible. And they're Peter Jackson's baby. So we'll see. We'll see what he can do.
Is he going to do another ape movie?
Yeah, it's War of the Planet of the Apes.
When is that supposed to come out?
Next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I like those movies.
Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
Sorry. They're pretty good, though.
There's no need to apologize for that. Yeah, I can't wait till the embargo on Warcraft is up, so we can talk about.
Oh yeah, you can't even talk about that movie. I wanted to ask you guys questions, but you got the embargo date.
May 30th. But
we can be very cryptic about it, but that's about it.
Can you say that you enjoyed it or no? You're not even allowed to say that.
We're not supposed to. I mean, I enjoyed it. So I mean, I can't imagine they'd be mad at me for saying something positive. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
I think Warcraft fans are going to lose their shit for it.
Really?
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way.
In their seats. Because
who wants to find it anyway?
Yeah, it's going to be in a toilet.
Yeah. You got to watch the movie on toilet seats.
Ooh. That's the next evolution from recliner seats. It's just the toilet seats. Who wants to go up to get to the bathroom?
So gross.
Sorry. I apologize. That's all I got. You got a list, Randy, before I derail us even more?
I do, in fact. So since we were such a big fan of the long format list from last week, I decided we would do another one.
Ooh, 40 this time.
I like how Dave calls it quits in like the middle of the list last week.
Just like mentally checks out.
And Randy's like, yeah, if you want to stick around for the end of this, feel free to do so. We're going to keep going.
Yeah, yes. Dave reads the entire outro.
Otherwise, just stick around.
Oh, it's fantastic. Sorry, what is your list this week?
All right, so this comes courtesy of Knowable.com. We have the 24 little-known things most people don't know about your favorite person, and certainly not mine, Anne Hathaway.
Woo!
Now, actually,
is one of those things that Randy Van Dyke of Geek Legacy dislikes Anne Hathaway?
I legitimately don't dislike her that much. It started out as a big goof. I was just kind of messing around with you guys. And I really don't harbor any kind of negative feelings. So I want to put that out there.
Oh, yeah, sure. just like I don't harbor any bad feelings towards Mr. Snyder, right?
Yeah. It was like our very first podcast. You just like lost your shit over how much you couldn't stand her.
And it was a total shock to Justin.
She just got
mouth.
I think she's beautiful.
She is amazing.
Huh.
All right. Number one.
Yeah, go ahead.
During one of her auditions for The Princess Diaries, she fell off her chair. Although it was an accident, it worked perfectly for the character, who's a total klutz, so she was cast on the spot.
Ooh.
Never saw any of the Princess Diary movies.
I saw the first one.
She's the Queen of Genovia. Genovia! That's her song.
Isn't that where Magneto's hanging out?
Sort of. They harbor mutant terrorists.
Genosha?
Yeah,
is it Geonosia or Genova?
Geonosis?
Geonosis?
Bugs and shit?
I can talk about X-Men Apocalypse all day if you want me to tell you how shitty that movie is.
Oh, yeah, there's no embargo. We'll do that after the top 25 reasons why you love Anne Hathaway.
I'm only doing 10. I'm not going to make anybody suffer through 24.
Oh.
All right, number two. When she auditioned for The Dark Knight Rises, she was surprised that she wasn't auditioning for Harley Quinn. She only found out that it was Catwoman when she was chatting with Christopher Nolan before the audition started.
Yeah, that's another interesting thing, too. That she's able to chat with the director before she even does the audition, because she's in all of his movies anyway.
Yeah. A-list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, when you're A-list, you hardly audition. It's more like screen test kind of thing.
Yeah.
Seeing how you look in costumes or how you act against other certain actors that are already attached to the picture.
I need to watch that movie again.
Which one?
Dark Knight Rises.
You absolutely don't.
I think I've only seen it once.
One too many.
That's so weird. I've seen Batman Begins 100 times. I've seen The Dark Knight 100 times, but I've only seen Dark Knight Rises once. That's so strange to me.
All right. Anne is the first and only teenager, or was, I guess, to be accepted to the Barrow Group, a New York-based theater company. Mm. Number four, Anne won a Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Voiceover Performance for voicing Princess Penelope in a 2010 episode of The Simpsons. She was born and raised in a Catholic family, but left the church after her older brother Michael came out as gay.
Now, is this a real list, or are you just stalking her?
This is a real list.
I think you're stalking her.
Maybe.
You're little call her window.
A, little column B.
I'm not a mind reader.
Now, have you guys seen Brokeback Mountain?
Yes. Of course.
Big fan.
I can't quit you.
All right.
Ang Lee directed that.
Oh, yeah.
The director of Hulk.
Hulk. And Itchy Crotch.
Yeah, and Sense and Sensibility. There's no more eclectic filmography than Ang Lee.
Honestly.
It's pretty good.
Anne has revealed that she doesn't know if Lorreen is telling the truth when she tells Ennis how Jack died in Brokeback Mountain. They shot two versions of the scene. One where Lorreen knows that it was related to his homosexuality, and one where it was really an unrelated accident. In the end, the two scenes were edited together to let the audience come to their own conclusion. Hmm. I feel like I need to see that movie. I've never seen it.
There's a great Family Guy joke where they're all talking to, like, Stewie's talking to this, like, irritating, like, agent guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm developing a script. It's basically Brokeback Mountain from the perspective of the horses. And they cut to, it's like the two horses outside their tent. They're like, hey, shouldn't we get going? Like, it's pretty late. They're sleeping in there. And, like, he peeks his head in the tent. He's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You'll never guess what's going on in there. Sorry.
That's funny.
All right. So this is actually legitimately interesting.
For a change.
She shares the same name as William Shakespeare's wife, who was also named Anne Hathaway.
It's fucking interesting, man.
That is fucking interesting. Anne Hathaway is one of seven actresses to win an Academy Award for a performance in a musical film.
That was for that,
Les Miserables.
While swimming at a beach in Oahu, Hawaii in 2014, she was swept out into the ocean by a large wave. King Neptune was trying to finally take her back into his warm, moist bosom. Unfortunately, a surfer saw her struggling, jumped off his board, and saved her.
Huh.
I embellished that one a little bit.
I was going to say it.
You're all, these guys are dicks. Nope, like, that's just me.
They're trying to kill her.
I'm doing it all in jest, of course.
George Lucas is going to sue somebody.
If she wasn't an actor, Anne has said that she would be interested in teaching English or becoming a psychologist. All right, and that's 10 things. Would you like to know more?
Yes. Was she ever homeless or got a prosthetic limb or anything?
No, I'm going to try to give you one here.
Are they like, she had toast for breakfast.
No.
She's one of only 13 actresses to win an Academy Award, BAFTA, Golden Globe, and Screen Actors Guild Award for the same performance.
Was that in the same thing?
For Les Mis?
Yes, it is.
Well, she's got the Emmy now. She's got the Oscar. She's sure to get a Tony eventually because she's a musical person. She'll have to work on that Grammy and she can be an EGOT, like James Earl Jones.
Do Interstellar on ice.
Yeah.
What do you get when you do a show on ice? Respect? Is that it?
Sore ankles? I don't know.
Sweatshirt that says, I did this on ice. Skiers do it on the ice.
Anne learned to barrel race for Brokeback Mountain, but the film's insurance company insisted on using a stunt double instead.
Just don't trust her.
The glass slippers she wears in Ella Enchanted were made of real glass. She broke both pairs made for filming.
Bitch.
That's sad.
Anne Hathaway has 10 toes.
Yeah.
Supposed to, right?
You are. I guess I should go to the doctor.
Yeah, big time.
Get that looked at. Do do do. I enjoyed your list,
Randy. Fantastic list.
Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
No, it randomly came across my feed this week on Facebook, and I'm like, you know what? This is one list they wouldn't expect from me. So I figured I'd treat you with a little something different.
I like it.
Albeit maybe not very interesting, but different.
I like it. Fine list. Fine list. Anything else? Got anything else for Justin?
I saw some article about Nintendo wanting to get back into the film business.
Ooh.
Not necessarily live action, but animated. Ooh. And, you know, there was those rumors about a Zelda show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a pretty good series to do. Is there anything other than Zelda that you would be interested to see?
Yeah, I could see them doing, like, as far as like procedurals go, they could do a pretty good Castlevania show. Like, that could lend itself pretty good to like a Netflix like original series, or Metroid.
But I think Castlevania is Konami.
That's true. You may have a point there.
And Metroid. They don't like making money.
Yeah, they seem to be downright against it.
They just want the easy money. They want mobile games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Metroid would be cool. Yeah, it could be fun. Like Samus. Yeah. Just running around kicking ass. She's a bounty hunter, and you kind of forget that.
It would have a certain sci-fi element to it. I dig that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the easy one is Excitebike, right? We're looking for that Excitebike show.
It's like Torque, the animated movie.
You write that down, Justin.
I forgot all about that movie until just now. Amazing how that happens, right?
It's like Thrash in 2016.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
I need to see that movie in today's age.
But I remember liking the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, minus the live action part. I did enjoy the cartoon part of it.
You like Captain Lou and the other guy?
Not really. It's pretty
where they met Elvis?
They even met... what's her name? Nicole Eggert.
Nicole Eggert, yeah.
Yeah, she was on the first episode.
Yeah, she like ran away. She was like staying with him.
Yeah, her pipes were busted.
Yeah. Clean the pipes.
I think that was the case. Like, she needed a plumber. And who better to go to? Right?
They're the ones busting her pipes.
Their phone was in a pizza.
It's crazy.
Because they're the Mario Brothers, and plumbing's their game.
You'll be hooked on the brothers.
The brothers.
Swing your arms from side to side. I love how they incorporate the stupid music into that. That's so terrible. And then the Zelda cartoon was like every Friday, right? It was Thursday was Mario, and then Friday was Zelda.
Excuse me, princess.
Fantastic.
Oh, I loved the hell out of that.
Yeah, I have it.
Guilty pleasure. As a kid, I did.
It's pretty fantastic. You watch it now, it's god-awful. It's like even that old... That's like the ugly animation, too. Like, if you ever watched that Dungeons & Dragons cartoon from the 80s?
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. It's just dirty, ugly animation.
Yeah, like the end of... Like, the very end of, like, Cell Animation, where, like, they were, like, just, like, reusing everything. And
yeah, looks like they just phoned it in.
Yeah. So, like, Zelda sells itself.
Yeah. Remember it had the cereal, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was just watching a commercial for that the other day.
It's like Nintendo cereal.
It's like the breakfast entertainment system or the Nintendo breakfast system or something.
That's awful.
It's like Nintendo, it's for breakfast now. Nintendo, it's a cereal. Wow.
Yeah, and like,
and then it just keeps going. That's just like the first verse.
And it was two. There was like half and half. Like it was half Zelda, half Mario.
Yeah.
And they were individually packaged in like these little sleeves of cereal.
God,
but it was that same cereal that every 80s cereal tasted like the Mr. T cereal and stuff.
It was totally generic.
Yep.
It was not good. I think there were little marshmallows in it. It was kind of like Lucky Charms, but not as good. Maybe not as sugary or something. I don't know.
Always have to be Lucky Charms.
Why does everyone always laugh when I say that?
Uh-huh. It's such television commercial.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
That's what needs an animated series, Austin Powers.
Ugh. But yeah, that's exciting stuff, though. I like the idea of... This is all about, you know, remember Nintendo made that announcement over a year ago about wanting to incorporate more of their licensing to other things outside of gaming just to make money. And there's a lot of toys. You got the Amiibo stuff. I see a lot more apparel these days. You know, there's like backpacks and hats and shirts and all kinds of shit that I never noticed before. And I think movies is another great avenue to go down.
Yeah, it's good that they're finally being less gun shy about their disasters that they've had in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, and those disasters can easily be avoided today by just ensuring that the person that's making it has an idea of what the franchise is. It was clear that no one involved in Super Mario Brothers had ever picked up Super Mario Brothers the game.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happens with everything, though. Like, once you just you push that envelope to see what else you can make money off of, and Nintendo was everywhere.
Yeah, it happens when you know, like. When you license your brand out to like another company, you know, that's going to happen. It's their interpretation because they're trying to sell their own merchandise based off of your property. To where I think if Nintendo is really serious about getting into feature films, I think that Nintendo needs to produce their own films. I mean, look at the massive quality difference between a Marvel produced film and, you know, a Fox produced Marvel film. And, you know, I think that that shows. We got Fan Four Stick. It's so bad, Justin. You should really watch it.
I will add it to my list.
Add it to your HBO Go queue.
The next thing on my list to watch is Calvary. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's an Irish film, but it's got a crazy cast. Everyone that you know, and there's this priest that. He goes into a confession, and the guy says that, hey, I'm going to kill you in a week because something bad happened either to me or someone he knew or whatever. You know, he was molested, and he's going to take it out on this guy. Like, he's going to answer for the wrongdoing. So then he's got this week to live, and he's interacting with people, and he knows who's going to kill him. And so then the whole movie plays out. But it's supposed to be really good, and... I'm actually excited to see it.
Nice.
It's supposed to be funny, too. As weird as that sounds, but when you see the cast, the people that's in it, then you can see how that makes sense. That would be funny, but...
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I liked it. Cool.
That Brandon Gleeson? That's the guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Chris O'Dowd is in it, and...
Well, that's fun.
Littlefinger's in it.
Oh, that's a good cast. Huzzah.
Oh. Huzzah, indeed.
What about you, Randy? You got anything? Anything fun planned? You can say no if you you're like, I guess I have to say something.
No. Don't forget to check out the latest trailer for Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death. Within the next week or so, we're going to be releasing the music video for the theme song for Bloodsucker Jones, which is amazing. Check it out on Indiegogo. It really needs help. It needs some money so that we can finish the movie and actually, you know, pay some of these actors to show up. Turns out actors prefer getting paid. Yeah. Who knew?
What greedy assholes.
Check it out. It was a guaranteed good time to everybody that came out and checked us out in Illinois, Rockford, Illinois, this past weekend at Forest City Comic Con, watching Nonstop Comic Con. We appreciate you being there. Bummer we couldn't be there ourselves, but also just found out that we got into Gen Con in August, the 4th through the 7th. So Nonstop Comic Con is going to be playing at the Gen Con Film Festival, and that is out in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a big convention.
It is a big one. Yeah, it's one of the biggest ones in
the world.
In the Midwest. Yeah. So that's amazing. We're stoked.
Gen Con.
Villain Con.
Yeah. We'll have to get hypothermia again like last time. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like in August.
I wonder if that's the same convention center. It must be. I can't imagine Indianapolis has a bunch of convention centers.
Yeah, it's the same one. It's the one that's attached to the RCA Dome.
They should have it around the racetrack, and everyone's just going to walk around the giant track to see all the different stuff.
Got to get your exercise in. Works your core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you got anything?
I got absolutely nothing.
Sorry.
Idiot.
Idiot. Make sure to keep up with all the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. You got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven James talking about the video games, introducing and educating and letting you know all these folks.
And we'll be back this week, too, by the way. Steven was out of town the last 2 weeks.
Well, and you also got Jeff and Tyler on the Comic Corner podcast. They just did their big retrospective and review on Captain America Civil War. Spoiler alert, they both loved the shit out of the movie. But you can listen to them talk about it from a comic standpoint. You know, Justin and Randy and I are film guys, and so we were able to talk about why we liked it as a movie. But they'll talk to you as a comic fan and let you know, like, as a comic fan, this is why you should like this movie. You know, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @Geek Legacy, and for all your Geek News interviews, go to geeklegacy.com.